This is Steve Rodriguez with ProgressivePulse.com, and I am very excited today to be talking to Layla Hathaway. Layla, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing very good. And I actually had a chance to see you last year in New York at B.B. King's. And I have to say, I loved the concert.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, I've heard your music throughout the years, as many of our audience members have, but live, it was just, it was really a great experience.
How do you
like performing live as opposed to, you know, recording?
Well, you know, both of the processes are, they're kind of the same and very different. I really enjoy playing music live, and I can, as I see it now, that's the only reason to be involved with the record industry at all.
Right.
To be able to take the music live and communicate with the people and have that conversation with the other musicians on stage is really the reason that I do it in a large way.
And definitely, one of the things I noticed when you were on stage is that, you know, it's featuring Layla Hathaway. However, you give equal credit to all of your musicians, the backup singers. I mean, I thought that was really wonderful how, you know, it definitely features you, but you also give credence to everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there, I mean, if I were standing up there by myself, the show would be quite different. So, in my ear, I need the band. This is why I hate track dates and all that kind of stuff. I really thrive on that conversation that we as musicians are having and then communicating with the audience. So it's important for me that you get to hear everything on stage to a degree. It's really important that we acknowledge all these live musicians that come together and make these records. And we kind of live in a time now where people don't, well, you know, if you're under 20, if you're under 30 probably, 20, 25, you're never going to really touch music. You're never going to really hold a CD. It's going to just magically appear in your iPod.
Right.
There's not going to be any reason to, well, let me look at the credits. Let me see who played drums on this, because, you know, who's playing drums on popular records anymore?
Right.
So it's important to me to support that tradition of musicians. It's really important.
Exactly. And I definitely want to touch more on the music industry currently. But also I wanted to say, who knew, but you are very funny and could have had almost like your own one-woman show as a comedian as well. We were laughing.
Ooh, me?
Yeah. Yes, you.
That's awesome to know. I appreciate it. That's my second, you know, it's weird. I have a lot of comedian friends, and when I tell them that that's like my dream job, they're like, what, are you a fool? No one wants to do this.
Right.
I don't think it's something I could really do, you know, in the way that I would like to do it, but it's definitely a passion of mine, comedy and making people laugh, for sure.
Do you crack up your friends all the time?
Yeah. I don't know if they're laughing at me or with me so much, you know, but we have a good time, and really, most of my friends are hilarious, so I try to kind of surround myself with that.
I definitely want to talk about Self Portrait, your album that came out last year. And first of all, you describe it kind of as a reflection of you. It's your most true self in the last couple of years. You know, songs like On My Own and Little Girl are kind of, talk to me a little bit about those two songs in particular, because they're about growing up, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, in a way, the whole record is kind of a reflection of growing up. On Your Own is a song that I had this dream about, and it came out very different, but it was a dream about my father telling me about all these songs that he had written, or singing to me all these songs that he had written. And when I woke up, On Your Own was the one that stuck in my mind. You know, you wake up and you just get that last piece of a dream, the rest of everything, all your thoughts, you know, have left the building, and that was the last thing. Little Girl was a song that I had the track for and wrote along with Rahsaan Patterson and Sandra St. Victor, and played the track for Rahsaan, and he came up with that hook immediately, and so it sparked all these ideas, and Sandra St. Victor helped me really pull it together. Two great songwriters, you know, that helped me on both of those songs, and just really trying to relate the story of my life in a way in which I had not done before on record. So I hope that people like that.
Definitely. And speaking of Rahsaan Patterson, I'm a big fan of him as well. You've worked with him before, correct?
I have. I've known Rahsaan probably 15 years or so, a little more. Yeah.
What's the collaboration process with you two? Do you kind of...
It depends. There's going to be probably some food, some drinking.
Nice.
There's going to be lots of laughing. He is truly crazy. We have a good time. It really depends. We are learning each other as writers. He is a master craftsman, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of writing popular music. So the process is never the same, really. We just kind of come together and try to write, or we talk about it, or we have a track, or we have a melody, or an idea. You know, we have lots of ideas. So the process is always different.
Nice. Well, I have to say, what's become an anthem and favorite track for me personally is the track Breathe.
And wonderful.
Yeah, as I'm walking down the streets with my iPod in New York City, Breathe really just, you know, in as you can imagine, New York City just being crazy, you're constantly stimulated. Breathe
right.
Just really centers me, and it's just a soothing track.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I know your current single, That Was Then, just want to talk about that song, because when I first heard it, I thought, wow, what a sexy intro, soulful track. I just love it. And what was the whole process of writing that song? Did it come quickly?
It did come pretty quickly. I mean, Rex Rideout, who is one of my favorite people, one of my favorite musicians and producers, had that track. And the moment that he started playing it, that hook came to my mind. It was like a lifetime passed right through my fingers. It just came naturally, and I didn't have to work for it at all. It's one of those songs that that crux of it was just one of my stories, and it fit with that music. And then we wrote the rest of the song. It's just, you know, I felt really lucky to work with the people that I did on that record. Ted Crouch, Terrace Martin, Paula Galitano. But the main players, I got to say, were probably Rex, Paula, and Rahsaan. And those guys, we just kind of had a synergy, and what we did worked. There was not a lot of surplus. We basically recorded almost everything that we wrote. And so I got really lucky and was in a really, really good zone.
That's nice. And I have to say, I really like the cleanness of the project and the album, and even from the cover. I mean, you know, I was kind of going through earlier covers of yours, and I just really like, where was that shot? In like a diner or?
Yeah, it's in Ray's Diner in Santa Monica, California. And the artwork is all basically kind of my concept. Everything about the record was so what I wanted, in a way. You know what I mean? I'm disappointed that it didn't get to more people than it did. But the way that the font looks, the way that the credits are laid out and the lyrics are laid out in the packaging, the way that the art is set up and the pictures and everything is really what I wanted it to be. And it's also kind of sad, in a way, that a lot of people never get to see it, even though they enjoyed the music, because they bought it on iTunes and there were no credits. You know what I mean?
Right.
So for me, being so old school, to me it was important to see like what the artist meant, what they meant, what the pictures looked like, what the intent was, what the credits looked like, what the packaging, what color it was, and all of that. You know, they were kind of like playing cards that you collected with these artists. So I'm glad that that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and with that, I would love to talk a little bit more about, you know, obviously, you know, the music industry has just been transforming in front of our eyes for the last few years here. I mean, yeah. Virgin Records is closing. You know, we just have people downloading. On a more positive note, it's, you know, here at Progressive Pulse, we feature progressive artists like yourself, and because we just feel that there's just, you know, if you tune into radio these days, it can get very, you know, monotonous with the same format. And I'm sure you have some words on all that. But in what ways positive do you think the music industry has changed? And in what ways, and you've sort of tapped into that, is it sort of been detrimental?
Well, you know, it is ever evolving, like you say, and it's a positive time right now, I think, for independent or progressive artists. I think that it's a good time for people that don't have a big record company or $1 million or at their fingertips. You know, if you want to make a record, you can buy a computer and put GarageBand on it or some other thing like that and make a record today. Mm-hmm. You can have it up on CD Baby or iTunes or Amazon tonight. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can have a website. You can reach out to all 25,000 of your MySpace friends in 5 minutes. So in that way, I think it's a good time for independent people, independent artists. The other thing is that it's kind of a bad time, in my opinion, for radio. And I can't really remember a good time for radio past, like, 1989 or 1990, really.
Right.
I just feel like I listen to a lot of satellite radio,
mm-hmm.
a lot of internet radio. You know, my satellite is XM Sirius, and I'm listening to a lot of, you know, I listen to, like, Jamie Foxx's station, which has comedians and music. And I'm listening to Sweet 62, which is now called Heart and Soul 62, because I'm likely to hear my record or a Rassange record. I might also hear like a Luther Vandross record or a Diana Ross record. I could also hear a Mariah Carey record or a Dave Hollister record or a Doobie Brothers record or a Michael McDonald record. There's so many things. That radio best reflects what I grew up listening to.
Right.
Or like if I'm watching Soul Sessions on BETJ, that channel best reflects the kind of variety so far that I grew up with. Yeah, the radio is an interesting animal because it's, you know, unfortunately, like everything is, it's all about money.
Exactly.
So the playing field is not as even as it might have once been. And there's not a good balance. And I think it's really just about balance.
Exactly.
You know?
And there's an interesting documentary that I would recommend out called Disappearing Voices, The Decline of Black Radio.
Okay.
I've seen it. Maybe we can get you the link to it. But it's basically just about that, the decline of how radio is really kind of a community effort with, you know, if you lived in Brooklyn, you could find out about local things. And
right.
A disc jockey could play, you know, who he felt was, who the list was just rampant with great music. And then
right.
over the years, big business has just sort of taken over and crashed all of that. So it's interesting.
Yeah. But it's also kind of a deep concept.
Yeah, very good concept, and the good thing about it is it offers some solutions. So,
oh yeah,
which is always nice. So,
what's also interesting is that in any city that you go to, particularly with soul music that I'm talking about, there's only like 3 or 4 jocks on the radio across the country, really.
Right.
With huge shows, so part of what you're talking about, that local vibe, part of that community vibe, is gone.
Exactly.
So where you would be able to tune in when I was little, growing up in Chicago, I could tune in at certain points of the day because I knew who was going to be on the radio and what they might play.
Right.
You know, I like this guy better than I like this guy, you know. And now it's just kind of the same across the country. You can drive from state to state, and you're listening to the same stuff.
Right.
In addition to that, those shows don't even really feature that much music.
Right.
You know?
I'm sure if we looked at the playlist, it would be pretty small.
Yeah, it's pretty small. And some of the artists appear 2 or 3 times.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's pretty homogenized, sadly.
One of the things it looks like you have embraced in terms of, like, technology is your 24-hour TV station, which is on
LaylaHathaway.com.
Talk to me about that, how that got inspired, and what you're doing with it.
Well, I'm working with a guy named Jonathan Clark, who helped me rebuild the site. The site's been up and running since about 1998, 99, and the most vital part of my site, of course, is the message board. We have a really kind of thick community in there of people, and a lot of us have been in there a long time, just talking about music and politics and culture and art and sex and money and drugs and rock and roll, you know, just talking about everything. And the TV was an effort to kind of make it different. I'm really interested in, I'm a techie, I'm a gadget girl, I'm really into what is new. I thought it was a really cool idea, because people are always asking, like, well, what's your playlist like? What's your iPod playlist like? Or what are you watching on your TiVo? And to be able to give people kind of a sense of that and keep it changed up. The real thing about what's on that TV is that I am able to broadcast live to the people on the site.
Nice.
So that's been the most fun. And I'm a Twitter person right now, and I was on Twitter the other night, and Diddy was actually broadcasting live on the same player that I put on my site like a year ago. And he was, of course, talking to like 28,000 people, but
right.
It's a great tool to be able to communicate to people, to see who's online and be able to reach out right then and say, hey, you know, it's been really fun. I really enjoy my website, and I mean, I'm part of a lot of these social networking sites.
That's great.
And they change every week, you know, so it's interesting and fun. It's a good time.
I'm going to have to follow you on Twitter, because we love doing that.
Come see me, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Well, one thing I definitely wanted to talk about is here in New York, we love Alvin Ailey, and I know you played at their 50th anniversary. How was that?
I did. That was incredible. I mean, you know, one of those moments that I had to, you know, put in my back pocket is like, wow, this is just really incredible. I got to meet Oprah Winfrey and Judith Jameson, of course, and it was just an incredible evening. All the performers were incredible, and I had never seen Alvin Ailey, so it was really something else. And to be able to be there and sing and contribute to what's going on with the art of it all was really incredible. And I think will stand out as one of those things in my career that I'm really proud about and honored to be associated with.
Great, great. Now, I know you're starting sort of a new tour right now.
Kind of. You know, it kind of comes and goes. We do, you know, we'll be gone for like a month, and then we're home for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm getting ready to go play at Yoshi's, which is one of my favorite places.
I'll actually be there. I'm going to go see you.
Right on. It's going to be some good shows. We'll change the setup a bit.
Cool.
And Yoshi's is always fun. I really love a place where I can put my eyes on everyone in the room.
Right.
You know, it's really intimate and nice, and the room sounds great, and the food's great, and the people are always happy to see music, so that's a good experience for us.
Cool. You're also going to Boston, too, where you...
I am.
You went to the Berklee School of Music, which I visited, and...
I did, yeah.
What was that experience like?
That was awesome. I mean, that was the beginning of kind of, you know, who I was, as who I am as an adult musician type person. It was really... The experience was just so pristine for me, because it was about my education, of course, but it was really about coming into my own and meeting all these other musicians from somewhere else. And I'm also like a huge culture junkie, you know?
Right.
And so meeting people from all over the world with this like mind, with this common interest, really kind of opened me up in a way. You know, I definitely would not be the same had I not had that experience.
Well, Leila, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are all such huge fans of you here at Progressive Pulse. And
thank you
love,
so much.
I honestly say this, Self Portrait is my favorite album out of your collection.
Thank you. It's mine, too.
Well, Leila Hathaway, thank you so much. This has
thank
been
you.
Great.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.